Now, first tell me something about yourself. Tell me about where you live in your country. Is the place where you live large or small?
I live in Hamilton, which is what I suppose you would call a small city. It's about 140,000 people, and it's a quiet little place which services the local farming community. We don't have any heavy industry in Hamilton, but there is a university.
Is it a beautiful place?
Well, to me it is. There are some people who would say it's not beautiful, but I like it. There aren't any big mountains or anything, but it has lots of green trees and grass, and there's a beautiful big river running right through the center of it. Flowers everywhere and lots of gardens. I think it's lovely.
Is there anything you don't like about this city?
Well, the fact that it's small, of course, means that you don't get a lot of the amenities that you'd find in a bigger city. If you're interested in art galleries or the symphony or opera, which I am, Hamilton is not exactly a good place to be. You have to jump in a car and drive for an hour or so to the big city for those kind of things.
Next, we'll talk about numbers. Are any numbers considered to be lucky or unlucky in your culture?
I would say there are an awful lot of individual people who consider that some numbers are lucky or unlucky. But if you mean society-wide, sure, there are a few. The number 13, for example, is widely regarded as being unlucky, particularly if it refers to a date when something will happen, and especially if it's Friday the 13th.
Do you think that some numbers are luckier or unluckier than others?
No. I don't think any numbers are lucky or unlucky.
Why not?
Well, it's difficult to imagine any number having any influence at all on the physical world. But I guess it could affect someone's emotional state if they thought that a number was lucky or unlucky.
Let's talk about motorbikes now. Have you ever owned a motorbike?
Well, I haven't actually owned a motorcycle, but I did have possession of one at one time. When I was a younger man, I swapped my two-seater sports car for my friend's motorbike. He had a girlfriend at the time, and he really wanted to take her on a date, so I lent him my car, and I had his bike for a while. That was a lot of fun.
What are some of the advantages of motorbikes in the city?
I think there are a lot of obvious advantages. Fuel efficiency, easy parking, being able to get around in traffic easily and quickly. But they come with a number of drawbacks, too, of course. You're vulnerable, not only to the weather, but to injury.
Do you think motorbikes are a safe form of transport?
Absolutely not. Not in the society we live in, where people love their cars and have no respect for others on the roads.
Now I will give you a topic to talk about. You need to talk for 1 to 2 minutes. You can have 1 minute to think of some ideas, and you can make a plan for your talk on this paper. Do you understand what you need to do?
Yes, I understand.
Here is your topic. I'd like you to talk about a movie you really enjoyed watching. Please start talking now. If you go over time, I will tell you to stop.
There are a host of movies I could talk about, but one that comes to mind straight away as a movie I really enjoyed was actually Avatar. I went to see it a couple of times, in fact. You know, the movie was released in 2D and 3D. Now, I'm not a big fan of 3D technology, so I went the first time in 2D, and then my kids said, hey, let's go see it in 3D, so we did. I thought it was a wonderful movie-going experience. I'm sure you know the plot. It was that movie about the big blue people on another planet, and then the humans arrive, and they try to take over their world so they can mine the precious ores under the surface. It was called Avatar because the humans used avatars to make contact with the natives. And there were just so many interesting things that I loved in that movie, especially in the production. The visual imagery of the planet was spectacular. There were all those bioluminescent plants that would light up and animals that had glowing parts. And then there was the miraculous technology of bringing those giant people to life with their glowing cat-like eyes and their tails and the wonderful dragon creatures that they rode on after they made that perilous journey up the floating islands to the very top of the world. So it was such a great spectacle to look at. And then layered on top of that was the story and the message. I'm sure you remember that. You had the contrast between the people living in harmony with nature in their primitive way as part of the environment, neither taking anything away nor destroying their ecology, And then, the greedy humans with their mentality of cutting down the trees and destroying everything to make money. I liked that contrast. It was a very satisfying story. And of course, when you set a story like that on another planet, you can make all sorts of comments about our own world and our own political systems and beliefs.
Do other people like this movie?
Oh, worldwide. It should have won the Academy Award. It was a fantastic movie, but for some reason it didn't.
Now we're going to have a more general discussion about movies. Tell me about some of the types of movies that are popular in your culture.
In my country, there are several sorts of movies, what we call them genres, that are really popular. The ones I can think of are action movies with Hollywood superstars like Sylvester Stallone or Claude Van Damme. Those are very popular. Then there are romantic comedies, you know, boy meets girl in a funny situation and there are some problems with their relationships.
And you talked about Avatar. Is that genre popular too?
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely a large percentage of the population that enjoys that kind of science fiction. And also fantasy, which is a related genre.
Do you think that men and women enjoy different kinds of movies?
Yes. Well, yes and no. There are certainly a lot of movies that both men and women enjoy equally. My wife enjoyed Avatar, and so did I. But then there are other movies that she likes a lot and I don't much like, and vice versa. I quite like action thrillers and crime.
And do you think most men like those kinds of movies?
I don't know about most men, but a lot of men do. But my wife can't stand them at all.
What kind of movies do women like?
Well, I don't like to overgeneralize, but if I was pushed, I might say that they do enjoy a romantic comedy. They do enjoy the humor involved when men and women are trying to form a relationship, more than most men do.
Some people say that movies are becoming very violent, and that has a bad influence on young people in particular. Do you agree with that?
Not really, no. I mean, when I was a child, we used to go downtown to the cinema and pay 20 cents to watch Godzilla crushing Tokyo. I mean, violence has always been a part of the movies. I suppose that what has changed is the realism in the movies. And this does make for a stronger emotional connection between the action on the screen and the audience. And for the movie makers, that's part of the creative process. They're experimenting with different ways to portray these violent actions in a more and more realistic way.
And do you think that this level of realism is more disturbing for young people?
It might very well be. I suppose many young people don't have enough life experience to understand a lot of the violence they see.
Now let's talk about modern technology and movie watching. How do you think that modern technology has influenced people's access to movies?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Well, there are many ways to rent or obtain movies nowadays, aren't there?
Oh, yes, yes. There's Blu-ray and online delivery, like downloading from different websites. Yes, I really think this has had an influence on how people watch their movies. There's much more choice and flexibility for the viewer.
And how do you think that might affect the movie-making industry in the future?
Well, I don't know. So far, they're still managing to make enough money to keep producing movies. I mean, the idea of copying a movie without paying for it must have been around at least since the 80s. So making a pirated copy is nothing new in itself. I mean, it must be hurting them, though, but I think people still love the whole experience of going out to a special place to watch a movie on a big screen, and hopefully that won't change.